All right, welcome on back to another edition of the Baltimore Beatdown Podcast. It is Monday night, August 8th, 2022. Are we still doing Jeff Fisher Day? Is that still a thing?
Yep, 8-8, baby.
Yeah, he was always more of a 7-9 guy, I think, if you go back and look at the record books. But it's Jeff Fisher Day, and it's Jeopardy Day here on the podcast. I am joined on my screen by Spencer Nathaniel Trebek. And well, he's not Trebek, actually, technically. It's Jordan Katz, Jordan Mountcastle on Twitter, a young lad who is very funny with the Orioles memes. He is always a great follow for Baltimore sports in general, in my opinion. And he's really quick with the whip with these games, these sporkles, these Jeopardy situations. And he and I chatted a little bit recently about the possibility of doing something like this. So how's it going, Jordan?
It's going great. I would not recommend you follow me if you were very in favor of trading Trey and Jorge Lopez, because I was not. And I'm realizing that was a more controversial take than I was anticipating. But if you wanted to keep Trey and you wanted to keep Jorge Lopez, please follow me. I am very much on your side, and I am honored to get the chance to do this.
Yeah, it's something that I think I've been holstering this take a little bit, because I think it might be a little... It's still incubating, but we're approaching some Ravens Twitter levels with Orioles Twitter now, and it's kind of bumming me out.
The paradigm shift from the Orioles going into being a semi-winning organization of how toxic Orioles Twitter got immediately, as soon as the win streak, the 10-game win streak was over, immediate division and toxicity. So it was a beautiful utopia that existed quietly for several years after the Dan Duquette era. And now that the rebuild is officially over, so says Mike Elias, so is the euphoric, utopic Orioles Twitter world.
Well, go ahead.
I mean, I feel like it makes sense that, like, the more stakes you have, the more frustrated you're going to be about stuff. Like, I feel like we're justified to complain about Rougned Odor when Rougned Odor might be the difference between making the playoffs and not making the playoffs. So, like, I understand why people are doing it. I'm definitely guilty of it. Like, when it feels like roster decisions and coaching decisions have meaningful stakes, then I feel like it's somewhat justified to become crankier.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think you guys have gotten real cranky real quick. It feels like, you know, 2 weeks ago we were doing deep fried, like, you just lost to a team that, you know, has X, Y, and Z, and that was my favorite thing in the world. And now we've moved into the world of, you know, maybe it's not as fun, but it's a winning Twitter, which can be toxic for a lot of different reasons. And, you know, it's not, I wouldn't even call it toxic yet. Let's call up Gunner and let's call up Stowers and let's just call this thing a day. All right. I'm on your side too. But yeah, I guess, you know, for the podcast, it's guess what? It's lift off from here. So how about you go ahead and you walk the listeners through what we're going to be doing tonight.
All right, we're doing a pretty standard Jeopardy where you don't have buzzers. We will alternate who gets the question, and if the other person doesn't get it, they can steal. And we have five lovely categories. We have alma maters, which I believe is pretty self-explanatory. I will name five Ravens. You have to tell me where they went to college. We have playoff history, which is questions about playoff games. We have regular season classics, which is questions about regular season games. A real shocker there. We have fits the criteria, where I will describe something that applies to multiple Ravens and you have to name just one. For example, if I ask you to name a Maryland wide receiver who played for the Ravens, you could say Torrey Smith, or you could say Jermaine Lewis. And we have potpourri, which is I ran out of categories, so that's five miscellaneous questions.
Well, I ran, you ran, we all ran. So, you know, that all sounds great, very exciting. How do you want to kick us off?
I suppose Jake goes first. You pick whatever category and price amount, and we'll go from here.
All right. I'm so happy to be second.
Yeah, this is a tough spot. This is a lot of pressure. I'm gonna go alma maters for 300, Alex.
Okay. You have control of the screen, so you need to press on it.
Okay.
All right. We're starting off with a rookie. Isaiah Likely went here.
Where is Coastal Carolina University?
That is correct.
Mm. One up to the kids, so I got 300 points there. So how are we, how do I apply
I think
that?
You just hit the plus and it'll give you 300.
Boom.
Hit enter. I have included a visual aid.
Enter.
Or space.
Space.
Space bar. Mm. Got a little picture. I wanted to make sure I included the teal turf.
Look at that.
And for a made up bonus, can you name the nickname of Coastal Carolina?
The Chanticleers.
Excellent.
Mm. On a roll. Okay, 300 points. Do the kid. Love that.
Okay.
And do I just hit
Spencer's turn?
I would like to call my shot that I'm going to go alma mater for 500, and I'm going to call my shot that it is Tandon Doss, Indiana.
I'm afraid not. I'm doing just active players for this one. So I actually don't know if, is it Beatty or Batty? I hope it's Beatty. Batty would be
depends
awesome.
On what kind of affliction you want to say it with. Like he's a little Batty.
He's a little Batty.
Yeah. Tyler Beatty actually played lacrosse.
But yes, Tyler Beatty, the running back. Where did he go?
Where is the University of Missouri?
Correct.
Boom. So
he was his production at the SEC. I feel like in any other year, like in the pre running backs devalued era, he would have gone like way, way higher.
The BCS era, he would have gone way higher.
Yeah. Like he had really good numbers as a running back in the SEC. Like, I don't know how much more you could ask for just in terms of a pure
team that was not great in the SEC, and he was the focal point of them trying to stop him.
Yeah. They were just giving him the ball all the time, and it kept working well enough.
He also grew up like literally 5 minutes away from me too, or he was like born there. So yeah, another point is another point for him, and another point for Gentle Spen Crenshaw, who is up by 200 now, 500 to 300. So two, right. You know, I don't want to call you out here, but two easy ones there to start. So I'm gonna go with
like I said pre-recording, I am not a Ravens sicko as much as I am an Orioles sicko. So this might be the easiest Jeopardy we've ever done.
That's fine.
Or it might stump you.
That's fine.
If we have a tiebreaker, I want to ask Jake where Colton Cowser went to college.
Oh, and if you want to do that right now, we can do it.
Oh, he's got me. Never mind.
Okay. All right. Regular season classics, 300. The biggest. Go ahead.
Hey, I'm the host.
You're the host. Let me back off.
Sean Connery, relax over there.
Oh, yes. Trebek.
The biggest moment of Will Hill's career came during what game?
Monday Night Football at the Browns 2015, the kick six.
That is correct.
Didn't say what is.
Okay, are we doing that?
We'll give me one pass.
Okay.
No.
Unless you win by 200 points.
Well, yeah, true. That can be the tiebreaker.
For how much I joke about gatekeeping the tank Orioles, I did not really pay attention to the 2015 Ravens, but I did watch that game. I was like, well, it's Monday Night Football. It's against the Browns. They should be able to beat the Browns. And that was a very good decision by me. That was, I think, one of maybe like four or five games I watched to completion that year. So shout out to Will Hill.
Yeah, definitely.
We're big fans of doing things to completion.
Yeah, we always talk about that. Yeah, and shout out to Will Hill. Shout out to that sticky icky. And shout out to Mike Pettine. Family friend. So
I was in Kenilworth at Charles Apartments in Towson.
Nice apartments. All right. So okay. I am up. The kid is up 600 to 500. Benjamin,
you're up. Give me potpourri for 500.
Oh, boy.
Swinging for the fences.
Okay. This is the one where I feel like you might not be able to get it. Name the last Raven before Lamar Jackson to wear number 8.
Wow. Who is Matt Schaub?
Bravo.
God damn it.
That is correct.
God, that's, I don't know if I would have gotten that. It's too bad you didn't get a picture of Matt Schaub in here, because he always looked really, really delightful.
Honestly, in my head, Danny Kite was running through my head for some reason, and then it just clicked. Matt Schaub.
Matt Schaub was a former fantasy QB just for the fantasy name Stump the Schaub, which I can't imagine I'm the only person that came up with that. It feels like a pretty basic pun.
I feel like you're a big Stump the Schwab guy too, so that makes a lot of sense.
if you weren't and you know what it is, I don't think I would want to be friends with you. If you weren't a Stump the Schwab fan and you chose not to be, you're aware of what that is, don't hit us up.
I feel like we really need to return to the golden age of ESPN having trivia shows, because they had that. They had like 2-minute drill, right? That
yep.
was like,
yep.
What they got to do.
We must return.
They gotta do that Olbermann show where he's wearing the leather jacket. What was it, Sports Night or whatever? And yeah, just a complete disaster. They gotta get back to that. But
we also need to bring back ESPN Zone. I would say the most on brand thing about me is the first time I watched The Wire, like the ESPN Zone showed up 3 times, and each time I was like, look,
yep,
there it is, the peak of my childhood.
You guys, I'm assuming, saw the Berman clip that I tweeted the other night, the dudes. I think it was either that, it was either both of them, or the one where he's like going on the crazy, like swearing rant at people, actually happened in that ESPN Zone in Baltimore. So yeah,
really?
Yeah, another piece of history there for you. All right. Spenny up 1,000 to my 600. So I'm going to make a little bit of a move here. I'm going to try to tie it up with playoff history for 400, Alex.
All righty.
I don't know how this is more exciting than I thought it would be, because I was very excited for this.
The first playoff win of the Flacco era came against what team with what starting quarterback?
The first playoff win of the Flacco era?
Yes.
It came against the, who are the Miami Dolphins?
With
shit. Chad Pennington?
What was that?
Chad Pennington?
Yes.
Fuck yeah. Let's go.
Miami Dolphins were the team that inherited the Tom Brady injury into a home playoff game, and they lost to a rookie QB and a rookie head coach. So they really made the most of their one chance.
Damn. So I tie it up at 1,000 there. Chad Pennington, I kind of pulled that one out, but I knew he was there in that general time. And I was like, all right, if they were going to make the playoffs, it was going to be with the Chad at quarterback. So glad I
honestly misread the question, didn't listen, and thought it was first win of Flacco era, like regular season period. And that was what, the Raiders or the Bengals. Browns?
Bengals.
And I couldn't think of who the starting quarterback was for the Raiders in that game.
It was the Bengals. He had the 40-yard rushing touchdown.
That's what it was. Yep.
Yeah.
Not Browns, Bengals. Yep.
Yeah, so all hopefully right. That's not a question, but.
I believe it is not.
So 1,000 to 1,000, Benjamin Franklin. Where are you going?
Let's go regular season classics for 500, Alex.
All righty. Todd Heap scored a touchdown with 34 seconds left in 2006 against this team.
Who are the San Diego Chargers?
Very good.
San Diego Chargers.
That is, I believe, the first Ravens game where, like, I can very clearly remember, like, what happened, who the opponent was, et cetera, et cetera. I have memories of the Ravens existing before that, but that's, like, the first one that was, like, firmly solidified. So I had to pay homage to that game.
Yeah,
I love that personal touch. That's why you're the best Trebek in the DMV plus Baltimore.
Mm. All right. All right. Okay. So you swung for the fences there again. All right. I'm going to go playoff history 500. Let's do it.
All right. Before becoming a Twitter troll, he forced a fumble in the 2012 AFC title game with a helmet-to-helmet shot on Stephen Ridley.
Who is Bernard Pollard, or as I call him, Bernie Pollard?
That is correct.
Ties it up.
1,500.
I feel like that one wasn't actually that difficult, but I wanted to pay homage to the most notorious former Raven on Twitter.
Yeah, you had to sneak him in there somehow, so I'm glad I wound up on the 500 one that was actually kind of a layup. So Bernard Pollard is the answer there. I tie it up. We are 1,500, neck and neck here.
I'm increasingly realizing I probably should have tried to look up more stuff to make this harder.
It's okay. This is the first one. We could do many of these.
The next one I'm going to pick is very hard, I'm very sure. I'm going to go fits the criteria for 500. I know that's really hard.
Now we might be. Name someone with three or more regular season pick sixes besides Ed Reed. And I do not have the answer to this one memorized, so let me pull it up on my computer, which will not be revealed here.
Yeah, filibuster a little bit. I can play the theme if we need to.
Well, let's go with who is Mr. Chris McAllister?
I believe that one is definitely correct. Give me a second. Yes, hit enter.
Love to have a studied up Alex Trebek just ready to go with his answer.
Juan Landry and Chad Williams. Those were ones. Yes, I was ready for Rob Woodson. That was in the back of my head. I thought it might be two. Ray Lewis, I honestly don't think I would have said. I don't think that would have come to mind. Dewan Landry, maybe if it was who played safety next to Ed Reed or something, might have come to me.
So, yes, just to have it spoken, Chris McAllister, Rod Woodson, Ray Lewis, Dewan Landry, and Chad Williams. I have never heard of Chad Williams in my life.
I think I went to college with a Chad Williams.
Probably wore a visor.
I think we all did. Okay. So all the 500s are wiped out now. Let's go with fits the criteria for 400, Alex.
Okay. Let me have that one pulled up too. Okay. Name one of the four AFC teams who haven't played the Ravens in the playoffs.
Interesting. I definitely want to think this one over a little bit, if you'll.
All right. I'll give you 10 seconds or whatever. There's no hard and fast limit here.
Okay. I'm going to say the New York Jets.
Yes.
Hell yeah.
It is the Bengals, which is mildly surprising, given that they did overlap in terms of having postseason success in the Flacco era. The Browns, the Jags, and the Jets.
Okay, so that puts me at 1,900, trailing Spen by 100, who is at 2,000, and he is now up.
I would like to state for the viewers and listeners, I have a signed Chris McAllister bagged up for one Vasily Larico sitting here still, Vaz. Chris McAllister signed, Super Bowl champ Chris McAllister. So wanted to pay homage, as is the theme of the episode. I'm going to go with Potpourri for 400. I hope it smells good.
All right. Name the former Raven known for his Irish dances. I realize this one might be hilariously easy, but...
Who is Mr. Alexander Collins.
Mm. That is correct.
Alex Collins. Spenny goes to 2,400 with the W there. Yeah, that is another easy one. Another laxer, Alex Collins, actually. You got a couple running backs with the lax backgrounds. I'm liking that through line there. Unfortunate ending for him here, but, you know, didn't seem like a
is
bad guy.
Is he still currently on the Seahawks? I feel like he was on the Seahawks last year.
He was
last year. I started him in DraftKings last year, and he's had like 70 yards and a touchdown, and I couldn't have been happier.
Mm. All right, I'm going to try to keep the pressure on with regular season classics for 400.
All right. He scored the final touchdown in the absolutely wild Vikings-Ravens game from 2013.
Who is Marlon Brown MB 104?
That is correct.
Mm. He's on a roll here. Who is Marlon Brown? Okay. Marlon Brown, any thoughts on him?
Heard some funny stories of him getting down with some lady friends in apparently he used to slang that thing.
Wow.
Now I can't send this to my parents.
No, come on. Of course you can. Just a little off-color joke here and there. Okay, so Spenny is up 2,400 to 2,300 now after I get the W there with the 400. Spen, it's back to you.
Got to go Almi Matters, 400.
Just working our way down this board.
All right. This is a setup for my favorite bit. Devin DuVernay went here.
He's got the horns up, baby. Texas University. University of Texas.
All right.
That is correct. And do you know a fun fact about Devin DuVernay's career record against the University of Maryland?
He is 0-2.
That is correct.
You just
and
had
he's
it.
Kyler Murray's cousin.
And here you can see him catching a touchdown against Maryland that was in a losing effort. And I included that because I saw that in person. I was like, wow, that was a nice catch. Little did I know he would become a Raven.
There you go.
That's another... another personal touch here.
Very nice. Okay, 2,800 to 2,300. I'm getting he's pulling away from me a little bit, so I'm gonna go playoff history 300. Alex.
All right. Joe Flacco was 4 for 10 for 34 yards during this playoff win.
When is 2009 at New England?
I believe that is correct. Let's take a look. Indeed, the 2009 wild card round against the Patriots.
Mm. All right. 2,800, 2,600. What an absurd thing. Like, and like, I hate that had to happen because everyone's like, when you try to like bring up Flacco's good record in the playoffs, it was like, oh, well, you had that one game. It's like, all right, cool. Well, there's one.
Well, no. The counterpoint is you do that for any sort of Brady trolling. Like, how good can you be if you lost when the opposing quarterback had 34 yards?
Yeah.
Well, of course, when people bring up Lamar 1-3 in the playoffs, Stavi Baby goes, yeah, something about Joe Flacco.
Just a pure pocket passer. Well,
do you really now?
All right. 2,800 to 2,600 to the Spenjamin side of things, who is now up.
Let's go with fits the criteria for 300.
All right. I don't know why I feel like I definitely should have put this at 500. Name someone who caught multiple TD passes for the 2015 Ravens besides Steve Smith.
2015 Ravens besides Steve Smith. I feel like I'm going to get this one wrong.
There are four possible answers here. I checked.
I could get
this
one.
Let's go with who is Kamar Aiken?
Bravo.
Yep.
That is correct.
That's exactly who I was thinking.
Kamar Aiken, Kyle Juszczyk, Crockett Gilmore, and I believe he went by Buck Allen, correct?
Yeah.
Correct.
Crockett Gilmore had 2 in 1 game.
That's my mind was who was the tight end? And I was like, Max Williams? No. Nick Boyle? No.
Max Williams had, I think Max Williams might have had one. Yeah, he did against the Jags, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know why I know this bullshit, but yeah, Crockett.
You were a big 2015 Ravens guy.
I am. We were talking about that before you hopped on. That team holds a very special place in my heart for some reason.
I feel like when you only have like one tank era team instead of like several. Well, that wasn't even tanking. That was just like the 2018 Orioles where everything went wrong on accident.
Yeah, that was them trying and still failing. Okay, Potpourri for 300. Let's try to keep this on.
All right, Ryan Mallett and Troy Smith have this accomplishment in common.
they won a game for the Ravens?
Be more specific.
They beat the Steelers?
Correct.
Hell yeah.
Wow.
Let's go.
That was huge.
So was that Mallett's only win?
No, he wasn't the starter, though. I think he beat the Dolphins, but he came in as a backup.
Oh, yeah, that was the Kiko Alonso. Yeah, can I get the check? Flacco getting hurt. Yeah, so, okay, 3,100, 2,900. I definitely pulled one out there. I was a little confused at first because I was thinking, like, for some reason, I was thinking, like, Arkansas and Ohio State. And then, you know, that brought me to...
I was going to say, like, no, Ryan Mallett did not win the Heisman. Do not make that your
guess. That's what I was thinking. I was like, there's no fucking way he won the Heisman. Like, are you kidding me? And then I was like, oh, yeah, I guess they probably both won a game for the Ravens. Be more specific.
Steelers, that should have been the 500. That one was tough. That one was tough.
I feel like being a backup who beats the Steelers kind of puts you in, like, a cult figure status where I
definitely
sure how hard that would be.
Yeah. And that's a little
niche film noir from like the late 80s.
I think his one touchdown pass in that game went to Chris Matthews, who was like tearing it up in the Super Bowl the year before. And then he just somehow wound up on the Ravens, like didn't hang on with the Seahawks. But yeah, okay. 3,100 or 2,900. I feel like this is just still neck and neck.
We're down to the 100s and 200s now. Mm. So
give me those.
This question would be quite the upset here. What was it?
Give me those delicious alma maters for 200.
All righty. Mark Andrews went here.
It's a top five school, baby. Where is the University of Oklahoma Norman?
Mm. That is correct.
Storm and Norman. Okay. Another really easy one there. I gotta say, but it's all right. Okay. Playoff history 200.
All right. He had two interceptions during the Mile High Miracle.
Who is Corey Graham?
Yes, indeed.
All right. So 3,300 to 3,100.
He was one of how many people were on that team and then the Eagles Super Bowl team? It was him, Torrey. I feel like there was somehow a third one.
Timmy Jernigan?
I think.
Yeah, no, I actually don't know. I didn't.
No, Jernigan wasn't on the Ravens Super Bowl team. No. I think you might be right, though. I definitely Torrey and definitely Corey Graham.
I feel like there were a few more.
Could be. Yeah. Those Eagles, they like their past Ravens.
I've said this before. I've honestly watched the Eagles Super Bowl highlights more than the Ravens just because like the stress of, oh my God, my team is in the Super Bowl, like still feels overwhelming like 10 years later.
Yeah.
But the Eagles just like felt like house money. It was like, okay, if they lose, whatever, it's more Patriots bullshit. But oh my God.
Yeah.
They won this cursed team with this insane fan base, beat the fucking Patriots. Oh my God. Like just like
MVP quarterback like, who tore his ACL.
Yeah. Like the pure, like, if the Eagles lose, whatever. If the Ravens lose, this is the worst day of my life. Whereas like the mental state I entered for those games honestly makes me gravitate more towards watching Eagles Super Bowl highlights.
Yeah.
I feel like that makes sense, right?
Yeah, a lot of people compare that team to the Jeff Hostetler taking over for Phil Simms' Giants, which I think is good. And I have a lot of affection for that team too. I was really rooting for them in that playoff stretch. So yeah, Eagles and Ravens, a little bit of shared history there for you.
Yeah, I have no idea if this is a hot take. I consider Baltimore and Philly to be reasonably sister cities. Like we have beef with a lot of the same cities.
Same accent.
Not only that, like the row homes and the brick and like the gritty reputation.
I feel like it's definitely like the chip on the shoulder. I was like, oh, you're paying attention to New York instead of us. Oh, you're paying attention to Boston instead of us. Like, yeah. I feel like something like that is definitely
the accent is the exact same. It's very much so. Spengeman, you are up.
Let's go with fits the criteria for 200, Alex.
Alrighty. Name an offensive coordinator between Jim Caldwell and Greg Roman.
Who is one venerable Marty Morhenwag?
Yes.
Look it.
Along with Mark Trestman and Gary Kubiak.
Well, Ravens fans miss Mark Trestman, so you should have picked that.
give us a Marty Morhenwag, Jake. Give it to us.
Yeah, look it. All right, we're trying really hard here in Jeopardy today, and we're figuring it out, and Jordan did a great job with these questions, and, you know, look it. We think we know when we're, you know, going to win or not win or whatever it's going to be. But I'm telling you, we're all trying to get better each and every day.
There we go.
All right. 3,500 to 3,100. I am getting a little boxed out here. I'm going to go regular season classics for 200.
All right. He caught a 36-yard pass to set up Justin Tucker's record-breaking field goal this year.
Who is slamming Sammy Watkins?
Correct.
All right.
I find his legacy as a one-year Raven kind of interesting because he had like multiple big catches, but then he also had that play in Miami that everyone still seems pretty mad about. He seems like very much a mixed bag.
We got the full Sammy Watkins Lizard King experience in the smallest like time frame possible.
I have no ill will towards him. I don't know why anyone would. Like he, you know,
I wish he was on this team, to be honest.
Yeah, 100%. Like, you know, they'd be in a lot better spot with him than without him. I'll tell you that.
Because, yeah, he had that. He had the pass to set up the touchdown against the Bears, and he had...
He scored the game-tying touchdown in Pittsburgh that, you know, really could have won them the game.
Wasn't actually game-tying.
Well, yeah, the setting up for the game winner.
The setting up 2-point conversion touchdown. Yeah. Like he could have been in the TJ Houshmandzadeh lore of random Steelers killers if they got that 2-point conversion.
Yeah,
definitely. It could have been go ahead. It could have been tying. It could have been many things. And it was not ultimately.
Yeah. And through no fault of his own. Let's just say that. All right. So Sam Watkins there. Spen, I feel like I know where you're going here.
Give me that pot pourri for 200, baby.
All right. This one actually might be difficult. I have no idea. Dennis Pitta was taken with a draft pick the Ravens acquired from the Broncos. The Broncos used Baltimore's pick for who?
I think I know this one, and I think I love it.
The Broncos used Baltimore's pick for him.
This is not like the answer is going to be a very well-known player. So that's your hint.
The answer is going to be a very well-known player. On the Broncos.
Yes. Think about when this trade was made.
Don't help him.
I've got all the variables running through my head. I don't think I know. I don't think I have a clue. Let's go. That's not it.
I'm setting a timer. We need an answer.
Who is Demaryius Thomas?
Nope. Yeah. Jake, would you like to steal?
Who is Tim Tebow?
That is correct.
Fuck yeah! Let's go. Ties it up.
That is one of my favorite pieces of like Ravens history.
How the fuck is that 200?
That's bullshit.
Wow.
I mean, because I feel like it's such like a well-known trade that like
I was thinking about Pitta too much. I should have not been thinking about Pitta at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. This was one where like I feel like either you instantly know it or like no amount of hints will help you know it. So again, I was very much guessing for like price values and the difficulty of the questions as a whole.
Yeah, it came down to him and Demaryius Thomas, and I was like, it's definitely Tim Tebow, knowing Jordan's brain. So,
good call.
All right, we're down to the 100s.
All right, let's go playoff history 100.
All righty. Name the two people with a kick return touchdown in a Ravens Super Bowl.
Who is Jermaine Lewis? Who is Jacoby Jones?
Correct and correct.
3,600 to 3,500, Jakey boy.
Well, guess who's going to get the last one?
All right. It actually might be a double Jeopardy situation.
Oh, God.
Which we're not prepared for the folks at home.
I can probably just click around on Pro Football Reference and find something in like 30 seconds if I need it.
Okay.
Give me alma maters for 100.
All right. This is the single easiest one we have. Lamar Jackson went here.
Where is Johnny Unitas's alma mater, the University of Louisville?
Louisville.
Very good. Mm.
3,600, all knotted up. All right, I'm going to go regular season classics for 100.
All right, name the game and year that inspired the bullshit chant on Sunday Night Football.
I'm going to go... This is harder than I would have thought.
Wow.
I'm going to go 2012 Sunday Night Football versus Patriots.
Yes.
Okay, good. Thankful. It was either that or a Steelers game right around the same time.
I mean, they could have done that too, but that was when everyone heard it on television.
Yeah, like, that was...
I'm not ruling out that there was a bullshit chant at a Ravens game before that.
I was going to say, there have been so many...
That was the second to last game with replacement refs, and the final game was the Seahawks-Packers on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, okay. I'm really glad I got that. That would have been...
I also just realized I'm going to lose, barring a miracle, and there's not as many pieces left as I thought. I was one off. And Tim Tebow... Fucks me. How ironic.
Okay. Those jokes are outdated. He's a happily married man.
Let's go with fits the criteria for 100.
All righty. Name a running back who scored a touchdown in 2021.
Who is Latavius, the dark zombie shark, Murray?
Yes. It is him, Devonta Freeman, Le'Veon Bell, and Tyson Williams. Tyson,
Bell.
Right? That's correct?
Yep. Yeah, he did.
I was asking for pronunciation, not if he scored a touchdown.
Tyson.
Yeah, Tyson, not Tyson, as some might think.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know.
All right, for all the marbles, I got Potpourri 100. It's 3,700 to 3,700.
I hope there's a little treasure chest in there.
I'm sure there is.
The 2000 Ravens were the only team to do this during that season.
Lose to the Miami Dolphins.
That is your winner.
Hell yeah. 3,800 to 3,700. I egg Spenny out, which I love to do. And what a game. Alex, any comments here on a pretty thrilling victory for me, if I must say?
I think we just went like, how many pieces are on the board? 30? We went like 29 for 25. 30.
Yeah, I think the only missed one was the Tebow.
Well, yes, that wound up being the difference.
Of course it was.
I don't think if you gave me five guesses, I would have gotten that one. Actually, let's go. I wouldn't have got it on at least the first two guesses, probably the third.
I mean, if maybe. You just do the process of elimination, it's 2010, Dennis Pitta got drafted.
That was
the Broncos.
Just not in my brain that Tim Tebow was a Bronco for like playing this game. He was never going to be in my brain, I don't think, for a while. Like it would have taken me.
He wasn't known for playing for like anyone else. Like, do you remember him as a Jet?
Just for riding the pine.
My brain, I can't explain it. My brain wasn't going to go there no matter what. It was like well-known player, which means like good player. I was like, it's not Von Miller.
He just was in the playoffs.
Yeah. I'm a huge Tim Tebow fan, very secretly. And I'm just, that's fine. I'm willing to lose on that one. Like I said, if anybody's going to fuck me, it has to be Tim Tebow. That's fine.
Well, in this instance, he was my savior because I was, things were looking bleak there for me for a minute. But the old switcheroo came on that one. And then I started gaining on you. And that proved to be the difference. So that was really fun.
I thought I was Borat, Mr. King in the Castle, after I knocked out like four 500s too. I was like, ooh, Jake's stupid. He let me get all the big ones. I nailed him.
Yeah, you took all those 500s. I was worried, but it turns out questions on the little on the easier side. So next time we're gonna tighten those up. But it was still a really fun exercise.
I can have a third party consult for question difficulty because again, I'm an Orioles first person. So what is considered super obvious or super difficult for like Ravens first people is largely a guess for me.
Good. Well, as much fun as I had, I hope it was more fun for the listeners who get to play along and think and then, maybe beat us, maybe not. And just in terms of time, like, Jake said Corey Graham immediately, maybe someone has that split second where they think it and they're about to say it out loud while they're on their commute or something. So very fun. Enjoyed that so much, Jordan. Thank you. I can't express how fun that was and how much we appreciate.
I am flattered.
Yeah, that was a ton of fun. And how about you, before we get you out of here, Mr. Trebek, how about you go ahead and plug all your social media and anything if people want to go ahead and follow you for just toxic fights about Gunnar Henderson.
Quick irony before you plug is that Dan Katz, we're a big part of my take, we're award-winning listeners, he gets to interview Aaron Rodgers. That is released the day that we are hosted by Jordan Katz in Jeopardy, Aaron Rodgers' favorite game.
And I correctly predicted that Aaron Rodgers was an ayahuasca boy. So there we go.
You did correctly predict that 10 times over.
Yeah.
Jordan, please plug yourself. Tell the good people where to find all of your fantastic work. Go ahead.
I'm at Naturally Cats 11. I was previously at Just Naturally Cats, but then I got suspended for using copyrighted audio too many times. And that is not a joke. That is 100% directly what happened. So yes, I am at Naturally Cats 11. I do writing for Baltimore Sports and Life. So I'm working on an article about the future options at third base, shortstop, and second for the Orioles. So I'll have that out sometime. Might be already published by the time this is uploaded. So yeah, I do writing there. I think that's everything I do that is relevant to the listeners of this podcast. I don't think they're that interested in me helping promote the work that my friends at the Diamondback do as professionals. But if for some reason you can follow at DBK Alumni. Everything I'm working on right now.
You and David Simon, two Diamondback alumni. Really? Yeah, on these airwaves. How about that?
Absolutely. Ryan Mink, get on here, man. We need another. What is the Orioles record when it's all said and done to finish the regular season? Give us a prediction. I'm putting you on the spot.
I'm really leaning into the fact that this is going to be a clone of 2012, and the 2012 record was, I want to say it was 93. I actually don't have this memorized for someone who's doing a literal daily thread about the 2012 Orioles.
That is very ironic.
That's a fun follow.
You're in too deep to 2012 to even think about.
2012 was 93 and 69. So I'm going to say they're going to repeat that and be 93 and 69.
Nice. Well, love that.
We would love to see that. We certainly would, especially if the Yankee Spankies continue to get spankied and fall out of first place. And this series with the Jays about to have first pitch here in a few minutes. Perfectly timed for you,
my
friend.
We have a chance for Jordan Lyles to eat some very valuable innings, as always.
Yeah.
Nom, 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 nom.
Just like old Joey Chestnut there. So thank you, buddy. This was a lot of fun. I think we're going to have to make this more than a one-time thing. This was really fun. Like I said, we can crank up the questions even more next time and make it a little bit more of a sweat fest. But either way, it was still fun. It was still thrilling. I'm sure it's going to be a good listen. And you have yourself a good night here watching demos.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jordan.
It was a lovely honor to be here.
All right. Later.